If you have your Bible with you this morning, if you'll turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, I hope that passages like this, as a result of your reading, will literally jump off the page. And as you're reading them, you'll say, well, wait a minute, what did I just read there? What just happened there? What did I just experience? Now, I'm going to let you, maybe later this afternoon, read through verses 1 to 10, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump right in just a moment to our outline, and so I'm going to read those verses sequentially based on the 5 points of my sermon this morning. Now, what's interesting, and isn't it just like the Lord to give us a if-then, scenario in these 10 verses of Scripture? And in fact, what I've entitled this is Resolutions with a Promise. Now, have any of you or have many of you established your New Year's resolutions? And if you have, probably many of us, I'm going to join you, have already dropped out and we've missed it. I mean, here we're into February, 5-6 weeks into it, and we've already bailed out. It was interesting. I went online to about.com and I found the top 10 resolutions that people make over the course of the turn of a new year. Here they are. Number one, spend more time with family and friends. Number two, become more fit. Number three, lose weight. Those probably kind of go together there. Number four, quit smoking. Number five, enjoy life more. Number six, quit drinking. Number seven, get out of debt. Number eight, learn something new. Number nine, help others. And number 10, get organized. Now, just for a moment, were those any of the resolutions that you had made? If you say, none of those things occurred to me, we need to talk. Because if you are excellent in all of those things, then I'm a little concerned for you, and we need you because you are just about as close to perfect as you can possibly get. But how many of those resolutions counteract a negative situation in our life? On the other side, how many of those are positive in nature? And what I want to suggest to you this morning is maybe we should resolve or predict less and instead trust God's promises in our life. Now, again, let me explain. I mean, you can't just say, hey, there's a promise in Scripture that if I just do this, I'm going to lose weight. That doesn't exist. But so many times we go through our life and we resolve to do this or we predict that we're going to do that. But I want to share with you that, that's something that's pretty unreliable. But I want to share with you this morning, when you trust in God, that is the best and the most amazing situation to put yourself and your life in. Now, when you trust God, it doesn't take away most of the uncertainties about the future of our life. But I began to list some of the things that trusting in God or putting our faith in Him does. See, faith in Christ may in fact lead us to run our life in such a way that we advance God's kingdom. So what promises does God give us in our relationship with Jesus Christ? I jotted down just a couple. That our sins are forgiven. That He will never leave or forsake us. That His power is made perfect in our weakness. That people from all nations will be saved through the power of the gospel. And that beyond the sickness and sorrow of this fallen world, there is a heaven of health and joy for every one of His precious children. Those are just some of the things that God has given us as followers of Christ, of children of His. But as you're looking at Proverbs chapter 3, it's an interesting layout. We're going to look at the first 10 verses. The odd numbered verses, 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9, are things that the Lord, Scripture, is encouraging us to take on, to do, to resolve or make a resolution to be involved in. And then the even number verses that follow that, 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10, are the results of that. So there's a resolution, but there's a reward if we'll do it. So follow along with me as we look at these verses of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Resolution number 1, read and retain His word. Read and retain His word. Here's what it says. It says, "My son, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commands." God's asking us, resolve ourselves to do that. And it's not a surprise to you that I've encouraged you, and so many of you have taken me up on reading God's word and hiding it in your heart. But it's not just a good idea, because what is the result of reading and retaining God's word? You will have a long life. Now you say, "No, wait a minute, really? Look what it says. For they will bring you many days, a full life, and well-being." I mean, this verse of scripture literally doesn't just say you're going to have a long life. It says you're going to have many days, and those days, that life is going to be a full life, and it's going to impact your well-being. So if you and I resolve in our life, and young people, this weekend, that's what you did, to read God's word, to hide it in your heart, and to retain it. And if we will resolve to read and retain his word, we will have a long life. Interesting. Number two, resolve or make the resolution that you will love God and love your neighbor. Look what it says in verse number three. "Never let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Tie them around your life, around your neck," excuse me. Loyalty, faithfulness. You could substitute the word love. But the idea is that there is inbuilt within our life this desire. God tells us that the greatest commandment is that we're to love him and that we're to love our neighbor. So if we will resolve to love God and to love our neighbor, what will be the result of that? You will have a good name. In fact, look how the verse actually plays it out. "Then you will find favor and high regard in the sight of God and man." If we will resolve in our lives to love him, to love our neighbor, not only are we going to have a great reputation with God, but we're going to have a great reputation with man. Now think about it. As Christians, we are uniquely positioned to show God's love because we really know what love is all about because our Heavenly Father has shown us that. And God says that if we will love him and we will love others, what will happen? You and I, we will have a good name. It's not on here, but in the book of Luke, chapter 10 and verse 27, it says these words. It says, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." It's this favor that God gives us by living out the example of love. Now let's move on. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 are probably those verses that you have either heard somebody memorize or you have memorized over the course of your life. I mean, it's just, if you had to pick life verses, I mean, these two, they're too amazing. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." So here's the resolution, that we are to trust completely in him. Now, this is a biggie, because it's very easy to put our trust in other things. My brother-in-law, who is just not only a great brother-in-law, but a dear friend, he asked me this question a number of years ago. What about our life requires us to fully trust and put our faith in God? And here's what he was saying. He was saying, so many times we cover our lives and we really don't need to trust God until something beyond our control steps in. And he and I in a conversation, he said, you know, most people, they attempt to have a little extra in savings in case they, you know, have unexpected expenses. We give health insurance, so if we get sick, we can kind of cover the cost. Maybe you're fortunate enough to have life insurance. I mean, we buy insurance, we buy all of these things, we do all of these things so that we can kind of cover ourselves. And a lot of times, we're not coming to God until we get to kind of a crisis mode that we can't handle on our own. But here's what it says, resolve to trust completely in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. not part, all, and do not rely on your own understanding. You could even add the phrase, and don't rely on the understanding of your friends. It goes on to say in verse number six, in all your ways, which is a little bit into the category of the result. He says, think about him in all ways. And so half of that goes with that resolution part. But what will be the result? He will guide you on the right paths. Or I've said the result will be he will direct your path. If we will trust in God completely, uniquely, solely, only, he will direct our path. And I wonder for myself, and I'm asking the question for all of us, how often do we look for the direction of our own life? We're running through life trying to figure out what we're doing, and what God goes, hey, Dave, I already know. If you'll just lean into me and you'll trust me, David, what I'll do is I will direct your path. Someday I'll tell you about the crazy circuitous route that I took to finally get to seminary. Just a little teaser. I'm probably one of the few people that actually went to four different colleges before I got my bachelor's degree. Now, so that you're not thinking bad things, it wasn't because I was kicked out. It was just I was depending upon my own direction, not God's direction in terms of that. Listen to some verses of Scripture that talk to us about trusting completely in Him. How about Psalm chapter 9 and verse 10? These are not on the screen, so you'll have to jot these down yourself. Psalm chapter 9 and verse 10. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Wow, what a promise. He's never forsaken those who seek him. How about Psalm chapter 28 and verse 7? The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy and with my song I praise him. How about Psalm chapter 37 verse 5? Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. How about Nahum? Most of you will not have read Nahum until you get it in your Bible reading plan, but there's good stuff there. Nahum 1 verse 7. The Lord is good, a refuge in time of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. Now, why is it that I give you all these verses related to trusting in God? Because most of us, if we would start and if we would just focus on resolution number 3, if we would receive God's result of him directing our path, our lives would be amazingly different. Let's look at resolution number 4. And again, it's right here in these 10 verses. Resolution number 4, seek his wisdom and counsel. His wisdom, his counsel. Isn't it true to say that in many cases, what we do is we turn to his wisdom and his counsel after we've exhausted everything else. Rather, he would prefer that we come first. It says, don't consider yourself to be wise. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Please do not elbow your neighbor. Please do not admonish your neighbor with your elbows that, yeah, hey, you know what? That's your verse right there. Don't consider yourself wise. Fear the Lord. Reverence the Lord. Be in awe of the Lord. Turn away from evil, and here's the result of this. Listen to this. The result, you will experience health and strength. This will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones. I had no idea in the grand scheme of things until I had outlined that I was going to preach this sermon on this day what would have happened 1 year ago today. I mean, I put this together a month or so ago, the preaching order that I was going to work on. Today represents the 1 year anniversary of my mother's passing. My mother had lung cancer, moved to bone cancer, moved to brain cancer. She loved reading God's word. When she came to this verse of scripture, it became pivotal for her as she was struggling through bone cancer. Look what it says. This will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones. So what kind of counsel, what kind of wisdom comes out of cancer? And here's what she would tell us today if she were here. It's through my difficulties that I have a unique opportunity that I don't in any other case to share of who God is. And rather than complain about my situation, God, what I want to do is I'm going to trust in you. She realized God had not stricken her with cancer, but she realized that God could redeem that situation and that health, and literally imagine dealing with bone cancer and going to her oncologist and saying, hey, listen, let me share with you what the Bible says, that if I will seek God's wisdom and counsel, this will be healing for my body and strengthening for my bones. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 say these words, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. Again, remember, the placement of seeking his counsel and his wisdom is first, not last. Now, number 5 is this: resolve to honor God with your possessions. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about how that we honor God with our possessions, how we give back to God what is rightfully and duly his. We're going to be talking about what Scripture says in terms of our responsibility in terms of tithes and offerings and gifts to the Father. But here's what he says. He says this: if you will resolve to honor God with your possessions, and here's how he says it, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first produce of your entire harvest. Back in Bible time, what they would do is, as they were raising their animals, as they were raising their goods, as they were doing commerce and business, they just knew that they would set aside the first part of that. Sometimes they refer to that as first fruits of those kinds of things. And they would give those to God. We wanted to give God the very best that they had. So he says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first produce of your entire harvest. And listen to the result of doing that. You will lack nothing. Now, at the possibility that some of you are already napping, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because everybody should raise your hand on this. Anybody want to lack nothing? Really? We all want to lack nothing, and it begins by being faithful and giving back to God. Then your barns will be completely filled, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Your barns, they will overflow. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 say it this way. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. I know it sounds crazy, but if you want to experience a life that is not lacking, then it begins by giving first to God. It begins by saying, Lord, really what I have is not mine. It's a gift to me from you, and Lord, I lovingly release this back to you. And that's why so many times people ask me, I don't understand why we do the offering during the service. I mean, why? And I mean, of course, now during COVID, it's difficult. You know, we can't pass, you know, the plate, and that's not, you know, that doesn't make it any more special. But giving of our offering to God is mighty important. So this morning, if you've not made any resolutions that have stuck, I want to ask you to consider the possibility of picking up at least a couple, if not all 5 of these. Just try them out. Start reading God's Word. See what difference it makes. And start giving your possessions to Him. Trust in Him completely and go through that list. So this morning, I want to ask you to do this. If you've not given your life to Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to do that. There is unbelievable blessings from God as a result of just turning our life over to Him. But again, but with you admitting that you're a sinner. But maybe today you're here and you're saying, you know what, I've not really taken on any of those. Let me invite you to consider the possibility of turning those over to God. Will you join me as we pray? Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege we've had to open your Word. God, it's not by accident that these 10 verses are situated right there in this book of wisdom literature. And God, it's amazing. If anybody else would make such an audacious promise, I mean, we could discount it quickly. But God, you've never reneged. You've never failed on any promise that you've ever made. And so, God, what we want to ask this morning is reveal to us which one of these, or maybe all of these, God, that we need to begin to resolve to do. The amazing thing is, God, if we resolve to do these things and if we seek you, you're going to help us. You're going to give us the ability to step into these. So, Father, as we respond this morning, maybe we respond in saying, I've not ever given my life to Jesus Christ and I want to do that. Or maybe I've given my life to Jesus, but I need to make that next step of faith. And God, I need to be baptized, that outward symbol of an inward decision. Or maybe this morning, God, we come and we pray. So, Lord, lead us as we respond to this invitation. In your name I pray. Amen.